The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 111 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. Thank you very much for listening, for watching, wherever you are. This is Ewan Cameron.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast, wherever you're listening and watching around the world.
Around the globe.
Around the globe. And it's lovely to see the amount of people that listen to the show around the globe.
Around the globe.
From all four corners of the globe, they listen to the show.
All around the globe.
They keep in contact with Scottish football through our shite ramblings and rantings and ravings and opinions.
And for that, we can only apologise.
Yes. And again, I just would like to re-emphasise to those who didn't hear the podcast week, or if they did, they didn't listen to a word that we said. We are not journalists.
No.
We are not journalists. We've never claimed to be a journalist. We've never claimed to be an expert.
I was a journalist back in the day. I did used to read the news. That was my first job.
But that's not journalism. You're just reading
a bit of paper.
Excuse
me.
I was a sports reporter, but I wouldn't call myself a journalist.
I was a journalist as well.
You weren't there.
I've got a degree in journalism.
Have you?
Aye.
Yeah.
Have you genuinely got a degree in journalism?
Yeah.
Well, you could claim to be a journalist.
Yeah.
I don't have a degree in anything. I got no O grades, I got no standard grades, I got nothing.
But I mean, I would say, I know what you're saying, like the definition of journalism would be sort of like investigating a story,
yes,
or uncovering a story, and that's not what we do on this show.
And we don't, but would you describe yourself as a journalist?
No.
I've never described myself as that. Would you have described yourself as a journalist when you read the news?
Probably. Or a broadcast journalist. Which
journalist. Yeah, that's slightly different. So again, to everybody out there who takes everything that we say so seriously and get angry and upset, we don't mind you getting angry and upset because we all have an opinion. And I don't agree with a lot that Stephen says, and he annoys me and he pisses me off. Same with producer John when he does his stupid dance from the studio and all that stuff.
No, but see, then we're
going to get the day. There's only one dance a day, mate. Again, we are just two plonkers, two fuds that sit here and talk football, a game that we love, a game that we adore. Please stop calling us journalists or experts or anything like that. We're not.
Now that you've said that, you know.
I know.
That's just going to make it worse now.
It was like when I said...
And I did actually mean it, stop calling you and Jambo Bear, but yet to this day, you still get called Jambo Bear.
I get people writing out of my car.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
I can't escape it.
You should wash your car more.
When I go like in a train or if I'm walking the streets, see the amount of times I hear people shouting Jambo Bear.
And I explicitly ask people not to do that, and yet they do it. So
2 days ago, petrol station, diesel in the car.
Yeah.
The boy next to me putting diesel or petrol or whatever in his car. You're like, Jambo Bear? No. I do reply to it because I have a laugh and a joke with it, but it's getting to the stage where I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's not because
is very funny, actually.
But I get it all the time, Stephen.
Yeah.
But listen, it's part and parcel of the job. We enjoy it. We have a bit of fun. We rip the piss, but that's what we are. So
I just wanted to check something out just before we go. If you're watching this on YouTube, I have no idea why the screens behind me are pulsing. Like, oh, there it is. You've managed to fix it, John. Oh, have you fixed it?
It's like you're in a disco, mate.
Because they're not doing that in real life, but I know they're back to pulsing again.
I'll just switch them off.
No, don't.
No.
Yellow.
Just adjust the lighting.
I can't do that. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, there you go. We're
there you go. Just whatever you did there.
Like, I didn't touch anything.
Make
there.
It the same. No, it's back to pulsing again. We're not in a nightclub,
I'll
John.
Just switch it off.
No, don't switch it off.
Because we look nice in the yellow background.
Just adjust face.
I don't know what to do with it. Hold on.
John.
But see, when you film this in Super Scoreboard, there is no pulsing of screens. I don't know what you do, producer John. You are the worst producer ever.
You can't
get the cameras right. You can't get the screens right. You can't get the colouring right.
Right, shut up the new because it needs to be on me. Oh, no, that's much worse.
What are you doing?
What are you doing to me? Shit, like, no! Whatever you've done, undo it.
Look at the state of you.
Look at the state. Like, what are you doing with the lighting?
I don't know.
Leave it, not. Yeah. No, it's away again. Oh, pulsing.
Honestly, because we're very honest and we call it as we see it.
Yeah.
Is there a chance of getting a new producer for the show?
Remember with intern Callum back in the day?
Oh, I loved intern Callum.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't
I don't he? Remember any of these issues with intern Callum.
We didn't have any issues.
And then he moved to STV.
Yeah, exactly, I know.
Is he enjoying himself at STV?
I think so. Yeah, he's on holiday just now, actually. Is he? Yeah. It's still pulsing, John.
I don't know what to do.
I know that. You never know what to do.
You've got the same camera settings as Ewan, right? And I've just double-checked that. So I don't know. So we can either go for pulse and ravey, or we can go, like, I'll just switch off the light.
No. Just leave.
You sure?
Aye.
It only pulses when you speak.
I know that's what I said.
Is it the power of my voice?
Yes, it must be.
That's so mental.
It only speaks.
Only pulses when I speak. Sorry, if you're not watching this, yes. Right, go to YouTube. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can follow us there, and you can see that whenever I speak, it pulse. The screens pulse behind me, but then if I stop speaking, it totally stops. Apart from now. Oh no, it's back again. It's back to be pulsing. So anyway,
do you have a nice weekend?
Yes, I did have a nice weekend. I spent part of it with you.
Oh, well, Friday night.
And we'll obviously get on to the football, but you did say it, I think 25 to 6, that Hearts would definitely get something from the game on Saturday night.
I did say that.
Yeah.
I got it wrong.
Yeah, you did.
Got that wrong. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I know. And then yesterday, what did I do? I was in Edinburgh yesterday, not for the rugby, because I don't like rugby.
Oh, what a win, though. What a win. Scotland beat Australia. We scored four tries.
The only reason... So I was.
I mean, I'm not a rugby guy because, see, Farquhar and Crawford and all... It's not my thing. So but well done to Scotland.
My dad and some of his pals were there, and I was like, I'll get you for a pint.
Your dad is a rugby man?
No, he's not, but his mate goes to the games.
Your dad went to the rugby?
Yeah. I have been to the rugby as well, and it was absolutely shit. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I had a great day out, right? We went to a number of pubs. This was years ago, and it was one of the Six Nations matches. It was, I think it was Wales or something. I can't even remember what the fucking score was. But anyway, I had a great day, and then it was ruined by having to go to the rugby, which was absolutely shit beyond belief. Apart from you could get a drink, obviously, because they treat rugby fans like adults. So I said, I was like, I'll get my dad for a pint. And I deliberately picked a place in Edinburgh that doesn't have tellies so that I didn't have to watch the rugby.
Good.
So that's what I did.
Well done. But listen, fair play to Scotland. Good win.
Yeah, not interested. Don't care. Yeah, don't care.
Going to get to my recommendation in just a second. But I'd heard something on the telly about having a shower. There was a thing about getting in the shower and what people do when they get in the shower. And everybody has...
I know what you're going to say here.
No, I'm not. No, you don't. You have a clue. You don't have a clue.
I think I've got a clue.
About washing your legs. Is that what you're thinking?
No.
Nothing to do with that.
No, I know.
So did you see the same thing I saw?
Don't know.
So there was a thing on the telly about showers, and it's remarkable just how different we all are when we step into a shower. So, producer John, you got a pen and paper there?
Yes, I do.
Right. So we need to write down. I've got three questions here.
I've not got a pen.
Go and grab a pen from over there. I'll explain this. So I've got three questions about getting into the shower, and I want to see how common, how different we are, or whether we do the same things.
Right.
So three questions when it's about the shower.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So question number one of this is, and John, you'll have to give us the answer first because you're writing it down.
All right.
And then we've got our answers in front of us. So here we go. Question number one. First thing you do in the shower. Once you've stepped under the water, so you're naked, you step under the water, what's the first thing you do, right? What's the first thing you do? Write down your answer. I'm writing down my answer.
Okay.
You got an answer?
I've got an answer. Okay, John, answer. You got an answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Question two, when washing, do you go from north to south or south to north?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just writing down my answer. When washing, what do you do? Do you go from north to south or south to north?
Okay.
And question number three, do you wash your legs, yes or no?
Right.
Okay.
You got your answers?
Yeah. Yep.
Written down?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's go back to question one. John, you're going to answer first every time. First thing you do once you've stepped under the water in the shower.
Reach for the shower gel.
So you go straight to washing?
Yes.
Stephen.
I wet my hair.
You wet your hair.
So I would put my body under first, then I'd go with the head.
You go with the body first?
Aye, just to sort of warm yourself up.
So you step from your chest out?
Aye, probably.
Chest and penis out?
Well, since I'm in the shower, yes.
Yes.
And then I would then rinse my hair and I would let the shower sort of like just go on my hair. Okay, so my hair's nice and wet. So then I can go and wash it.
First thing I'd do is brush my teeth.
Right, you're mental though.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's more common than you think it is.
No, I know people do it, but those people are mental.
No, it's the perfect place to do it.
It's not the perfect
place. It really
place
to is.
I think, honestly, and this is a genuine belief of mine, if you're brushing your teeth with warm water, you should be herded up and arrested, as far as I'm concerned.
Ewan, do you keep your toothpaste in the shower?
No, take it in with me. No, what I do is part of my routine before I go into the shower is I put the toothpaste on a toothbrush and I walk into the shower, and that's the first thing I do before anything else. I brush my teeth and then I put the toothbrush.
Brushing your teeth with warm water is absolute.
Well, I brush my teeth, right?
Devious behaviour.
But you, I've got more questions about this. What do you do with because you then go on to presumably wash your body. What do you do with the toothbrush?
I put it in the little holder thing.
You've got a toothbrush holder in your shower.
A toothbrush holder. I've got like a thing where it holds all the shower gels and shampoos. I just place it there. And when I get out of the shower, I take the toothbrush with me. It's no big deal. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so I brush my teeth. You think that's weird? Do you think that's weird, Producer John?
Yeah.
Well, I brush my teeth. Washing north to south, south to north. John?
North to south.
North to south.
South to north. I've written it down.
Jesus God.
South. How is it? What are you on about? What? I start down there before I go up there.
But surely you're therefore being less efficient with your washing.
It's that and then up.
Yeah, because you put the shirt on the top,
hold on, I'm going to give you a demonstration. I know it's difficult for people who are listening and not watching on YouTube. So I've brushed my teeth. Amazing. Toothbrush in the wee holder thing there. Brilliant. And then I get some shower gel and I scoosh it and I do that down there and then I work my way up and then I'm under the arms and I'm like that and I'm doing the arms, working my way up the body.
But, right.
Up the body.
Right.
And then after that, I get some shampoo, then I get the hair done and then that all falls down onto the body as well. So it's south to north and then north to south.
Right, okay.
So that's my routine. But you're both north to south.
North to south.
Try it south to north and it'll change your life. I'm telling you. Do you wash your legs? Do you go out your way to wash your legs? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
No. I've written it down.
But you just said you go south to north.
No. I was going to pick you up on this. You haven't gone south to north. What you've done is gone equator to north.
Yeah.
And ignore the south completely. It's what you've done there.
Yeah.
You've gone equator to north.
And do you know that nearly 70% of people who use a shower don't wash their legs? Because in their head, they think that by being in the shower and the water running down your body...
Is it legs or is it feet? Are people getting legs and feet mixed up?
Feet. Well, I do my feet because what I do is I rub my feet together with the shower gel. But most people don't go down and wash their legs. They don't reach down and wash their legs.
I mean, I would say it's probably a courtesy wash. Like, it's not not an in-depth wash like you're doing with your sort of your body and your
arms and all that pits and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And the equator bit.
It's more sort of like a sort of like... Oh, that'll do.
That'll do, aye.
That'll do, and then that's me.
Right, okay. Well, I don't even do that'll do, and that'll do.
Right, okay.
I'm not that person, so I'm a no to that. And one more question
I know
forgot.
What this question's going
to
be.
Do you pee in the shower, yes or no, John?
I have on occasion.
Well, that's not the question. It's not about whether you do on occasion.
Not every time.
I'm asking
you,
it's just yes or no. It doesn't matter whether it's once, twice, or 20 times.
Yes, I have peed in the shower.
Right, so you've said yes.
Yes.
Oh, I've peed in the shower, yeah. Everybody's peed in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't peed in the shower, then you're lying. As far as I'm concerned.
Do you think women pee in the shower?
I don't know. And I think we're now verging into quite dodgy territory.
No, I'm just asking. I think it's more of a guy thing than it'd probably be a woman thing.
Peeing
in the shower. Because I don't have any qualms.
I wouldn't make a regular habit of it. But I mean...
I do.
I think that
people advise you, they're advising now to pee in the shower for the environment. It's good for the environment.
And also it's good for your feet.
Eh?
It's not good for your feet.
It is. That's a scientific fact.
No, because you're not pissing on your feet. Like,
that's a scientific fact. What are you laughing
nobody's
at?
Nobody's pissing on their feet.
I'm right, John. I know it's a work computer.
No, I'm nothing in the bud.
No.
I'm nothing in the bud.
Yeah,
you've had your fun. You've had your fun.
It was a thing that was on the telly the weekend.
But you're not going to aim your penis at your feet, are you? Who does that?
But you don't need to aim it because it's already pointing down the way. So it's going to be all over your feet.
Well, it depends what kind of shower you have.
But no, it's apparently really good for your feet. It's a scientific fact. Right. Like, for example, if you get stung by a jellyfish.
That's a myth.
It's not a myth.
It's a myth.
The amount of times I've peed on people on the beach.
Yeah, but that's not to do with jellyfish again. And again, we're straying into dodgy territory. So I've warned you about that before. Right, okay. So anyway, right, we'll get to you. Do you want to do your film recommendation
now? Yeah, it's not a film.
All right, okay. Your recommendation then, okay.
Don't judge me on this.
By the way, a lot of mixed...
Oh, it's a mixed reaction.
Mixed reaction to last week.
Have you got the director from last week's recommendation stuff on that piece of paper?
I've got it, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. We'll get to that.
John showed me it.
My recommendation, don't judge me on this and don't laugh. Give it a go. On the BBC iPlayer... There are three episodes to a documentary called Boy Bands Forever.
Yeah, I've seen this. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it advertised and I thought it looked quite good. I think if you grew up in the sort of 90s,
correct,
early noughties, then you know, you'll probably love this. And I think
even if you're not a boy band fan, you don't have to be a boy band, because it's got 911 in it, it's got A1, it's got Damage, Take That, Boyzone, Westlife, E17. And it's their story, and it's also got the likes of Simon Cowell, Louis Walsh, and journalists from that time, and smash hits people and everything. And it's a fascinating insight to what it was like to be in a boy band during that time.
I think for a lot of boy bands, it was shite.
Oh, I was shocked at how bad it was.
I'm sure that obviously they aren't a boy band, but S Club 7 were huge, mm-hmm. right? Massive, had their own TV show and everything. Genuinely, I mean, obviously, they're not everyone's cup of tea, but they sold millions and millions of records, mm-hmm. right? And I think they were earning something like 25 grand a year, each of them.
And the TV show was syndicated around the world.
Meanwhile, all the record executives and the music companies were making millions, and they were getting, you know, what would be the average wage in the UK.
Well, it goes into all the detail about how much money they made, how little money they made, and then they're speaking to people like Simon Cowell.
The Backstreet Boys as well. Backstreet Boys got totally ripped off, yeah.
Aye, what a story. So, listen, I know that there'll be a lot of people out there say, oh, boy bands, I'm no interested in boy bands. I don't mind them, but I grew up with them in the 90s. But this is one of those documentaries that is a fascinating insight as they look back on that time, and you get behind-the-scene footage, and you hear from the record company guys at the time, your Simon Cowells of this world, who were involved, I thought was brilliant. It's three episodes, it's on the BBC iPlayer, and it's entitled Boy Bands Forever. And I was so inspired by Boy Bands Forever that when John walked into the studio this morning, what was I doing, John?
You were just sitting listening to boy bands.
Aye.
That's a bit odd. What boy bands were you listening to?
I've actually made a Spotify playlist called Boy Bands Forever.
Right.
Do you want me to send it to you?
You're all right.
What do you mean you're all right?
Well, tell me some of the songs that are on it, because like some of them might be gone.
Here, I'll let you scroll through my playlist. Tell me what you think of that playlist. Boy, and they all feature most of them in the documentary.
Ugh, Blue, man.
Do you not like Blue?
No.
All Rise is a great song.
I don't like Blue. I think I also
work in a radio station that plays Blue quite a lot.
True. Right, okay. Well, go through that quickly. I think Westlife's on there. Jingle Westlife.
Damage.
They're great.
One of them married to Emma Bunton?
Still married to Emma Bunton, yep.
Was that the one that Dean Bowers was in Damage?
No, he was in Another Level.
Another Level.
Oh, right.
Westlife. Ugh. My Love, good song.
Westlife are a good band. They've had some good hits over the years. They got to something like, what was it, 11 consecutive number ones?
Yeah.
So they're really good.
Yeah. Boyzone
are great. Picture of You.
I was just going to say Picture of You is a tune. 911, A Little Bit More. They were all covers, were they not?
911, A Little Bit More. Is that not Doctor Hook? When your body fails,
yeah.
A Love for Me.
But 911 also covered More Than a Woman.
Yes, they did. Well, remember, they did. Yeah.
Backstreet Boys, yeah.
You know the Backstreet Boys? Quit playing games with my
heart. If you've got Larger Than Life's the one, that's the banger. That's the banger. True.
Larger Than Life used to be the song that was played immediately after halftime at East End Park. Like for years and years and years.
But that would work.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah. So there you are.
Good stadium song.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Take That's obviously.
Yeah, quite a lot of Take That there. Oh, A1, good.
A1.
Oh, you're only One Direction now as well.
One Direction, aye.
Caught in the middle by A1, is it?
Yeah, it's caught in the middle. Steal My Girl, good song by One Direction. Savage Garden, guff, man.
To the Moon and Back.
Oh, shite.
Oh, that reminds me of my first girlfriend.
Is that good memories or bad memories?
Good memories.
Good memories.
Good memories. New Kids on the Block before my time, Ewan.
Step by step. Ooh baby. Gonna get to you.
We could be a boy band, Ewan.
Oh, God. End of the Road. Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Is on. No, I'll Make Love to You. That reminds me. Do you remember Victor from Big Brother?
Yes.
I remember he sang it on Big Brother, yeah, and I was like, that's what it reminds me of.
I'll make love to you like you want me to.
Oh, M&A.
M&A, I've got a little something for you.
Yep.
They're Wanted. Met the Wanted many times.
See, the Wanted, that song was an underrated song.
Aye, but they were up at the same time as
Chasing the Sun.
One Direction, so they were never getting it. So,
but they were good songs, though.
They were good guys.
BBC iPlayer is called Boy Bands Forever. Phenomenal, interesting documentary in three parts.
And lots of opinions on your recommendation last week, which was Strange Darling. Bad News Barton says, I watched Strange Darling. It's okay, nothing special, and definitely not the film of the year contender. You did say it was the film of 2024.
In my opinion.
Ewan is very easily impressed. No wonder he's a Hearts fan. Jimmy Shield says, watch Ewan's recommendation, Strange Darling. What a load of pish. 1 hour and 33 minutes of my life I won't get back. Alex Cuthbertson says, Long Legs and Strange Darling is £5 to rent. Can't get them anywhere for free. Also, Strange Darling is 2023, not 2024. If anyone knows how to get it for free, let me know. James says, just watched the recommended Strange Darling. Two reasons it won't win the movie of 2024. One, it was released in 2023, and two, it's not great. Keith says, can you please tell Ewan he's a whopper? His 2024 recommendation came out in August 2023. Guy can't even get that right. However...
There was
an intervention for all you guys who were saying it was out in 2023. JT Molnar. Now, I'm not expecting you to know who that is, but you put this in the chat and I couldn't stop laughing. JT Molnar is the director of Strange Darling.
Correct.
And he's obviously been searching for Strange Darling on social media, and he was like, it was released in... it was not released in 2023. Signed, the director.
2024 it was.
2024.
2024 it was.
2024 it was.
And I love how you've kept it, John. And this is why I can't stand you as a producer of the show, because all you've done is to give Stephen negative comments about my recommendation last week, as if... there is nobody out there that ever likes any of my recommendations. I've got a shitload of comments on my phone that I screen grabbed and I sent to you of people who love Strange Darling, thoroughly recommended it, thoroughly enjoyed it. So why the screen grabs that I sent you are not there for Stephen to read out? Why?
You can read them out, you.
No, that's not the point. That's not the point. This is about balance. All you've done is actually given him negative comments. No. Where's the balance?
I was just the way to say, and there was lots of positive comments, and then I was going to move on.
No, but you just read all the negative ones. There was no positive there.
I don't have the positive comments here. That's nothing to do. That's not my fault.
Did I put in the group chat? Did I put them all in the group chat?
Yes.
Yeah. So why didn't he just put them there?
Well, this is not the group chat. I don't know if you're aware. This is a piece of paper.
Right. So when he produces a show, it's up to him.
I don't produce the show. What are you having a go at me for?
I don't have access to your personal... They obviously got to touch you directly.
John, I put them in the group chat.
Me.
Right? I put them in the group chat for you to balance it out.
I didn't realise you wanted... I thought you were just proving a point. Didn't you realise you wanted them included in the show?
See, you just try to make me look like a dick.
No, Ewan, I'll vouch for you. There were people... I remember seeing them in the group chat. There was lots of people who liked the film as well.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay.
Thank you for the balance. Proper balance.
Yep.
Good and bad or indifferent. Yep. Love it. But that's what we need to do going forward. It can't always be negative to make me look like a fucking dickhead, because that's what that did there. With all those comments he just read out. And thank you to the director of Strange Darling, who then
JT Molnar,
who then retweeted my comments about the movie to his own Twitter page, and I asked him to come on the show and he ignored me.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't reply to my message.
Yeah, I thought that.
But he was quite happy to take all the praise that I gave it, prick.
Right. Also last week, getting in a car but on a bus.
Oh, jeez.
I've never seen so many comments on YouTube about this. It was basically, it dominated the entire discussion from last week. So this all came from, why do you get in a car but on a bus? Mm-hmm. Or why'd you get in a car but on a train?
Yeah. Why can't you get on a car but you can't get in a train and all that stuff?
Conflicting theories is what I would say. BB 1872. I would say on the train, on the bus thing is because you can stand up on them, whereas you can't stand in a car.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
But it depends how big the car is, I suppose. It's a limo, you can sort of stand
I don't think that works.
And you would get in a limo, wouldn't you? Georgia Papadakis. What a name. Climb onto a train, plane or bus. Put the word route after each mode of transport. You are on the bus route. You are on the train route. It got shortened to on the bus. In the car, you can go anywhere. So it's to do with the route. So you would say like you're... so you're on the bus route. You wouldn't say you're in the bus route. You say you're on the bus route.
Yeah, but you're, so you're on a route. You're on a route.
Aye, I know, exactly.
But you're on a route. You're not, but you can, that.
But you wouldn't say you're on a car route. Would you? Because in a car, you're in charge of where it's going.
But no, the time you're not.
Okay. Well, that's Georgia's theory.
Or somebody's driving.
Random Falkirk fan. I think it comes down to public versus private transport for saying in on. A bus, a train, a plane is public transport. You can stand, whilst a taxi and a car is private to an extent and you can't stand in them.
See that? Do you know Nikki Robertson for Fife?
Yeah.
Who's a pal of ours. She sent me that message about the car on, car off, in, all, whatever. And she said, like that, in the car, on the bus question is because you can't stand in a car or taxi or bike, etc., whereas you can't stand on a train, plane, boat, etc. So if you can stand in it, you're on it. If you can't stand in up in it, then you're in it.
That seems to be the consensus. Mr. C says, anything you can walk upright into, you can walk on. When you have to stoop, bend, step in, you're getting in. Davy Pants says, perhaps with a train, bus and plane, there's usually steps or a ramp or something before you can get in. I mean, this is, it's never ending. So that's why we say on, but with a car and a taxi, we just get in, which is why we say in the car. We say on your bike, as there's a physical clambering required before the rider is in position. Soul Bamba, 2488 says, if I owned the plane or train, and was just about to drive at home, I'd be on the phone to the missus and say, I'm just getting in the plane now.
Because he's in control.
Because you're in control. Happy Snacky. For my money on the on-in chat, it's normally all about the size of transport. You'd get on a normal plane or a cruise ship, but you'd get in a private jet or a dinghy.
You do get in a private jet. That's right. I'm getting in my private jet.
You'd get in a dinghy. You wouldn't get on a dinghy.
Yes.
It gets weird when there aren't big or small versions of vehicles, so that's where exceptions come in. You don't have big public transport versions of cars, so it works because there's an exterior. Likewise with bikes, no big public version and no interior, so on works best. P.S. Substance was a better horror movie than Long Legs. The football parts of the podcast are also very good. Thanks.
Yeah, watching Substance this weekend with Demi Moore. Thanks for that, mate.
Hey, Bender, what is the proper usage? Ewan's family has entered into a pact to make him look foolish in the podcast, or Ewan's family has entered onto a pact to make him look foolish on the podcast. So lots and lots of chat on that. Keep them coming. Remember, you can always leave your comments on YouTube as well. And
Before you move on, we'd like to know your shower routines.
I'm sure people will get in touch after your mental discussion earlier on.
No, you describe it as that, but that's you. I don't think brushing your teeth in the shower is crazy.
I think it is, man.
But let us know.
Kevin Watts says, on the sour pineapple, if you add a wee bit of salt to the pineapple and let it sit for a wee while, it will taste sweet. It sounds weird, but it works. Loving the show, lads. Keep the laughs coming.
Put salt on a bit of pineapple?
Yeah, if it's a wee bit sour.
Soury?
Yeah.
Okay, try that.
And Alan Neil, safe to say that 54 Champions has just had the biggest roasting of 2024. Yeah, had lots of comments on YouTube about that last week. So thank you very much for your kind words. Right, let's talk about the football, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
Since we've been here for half an hour. Let's start on Saturday. Obviously decimated because of the
Snow
and stuff in the lower leagues. But Premiership games went ahead, delayed though. Ross County 2, Motherwell 1 on Saturday. 8 goals in 17 games for Ronan Hale. Is Ross County's home form going to keep them safe this season, Ewan Cameron?
It did last year. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for their home form, they'd be in the Championship just now. And that's what will save them again if they're going to stay up. And I think they've got a wee chance, especially with that gap that's between them and Hibs at the moment. What's the gap, Stephen? You've got the table in front of you? What's the gap between them and Hibs?
7 points. Although Ross County have played the game more.
Right, okay. But yeah, they're really good at home. Tricky. Pick up most of their points. Score goals. And if they could just put a couple of wins on the board away from home, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But again, it just depends on the teams in and around them. But good win for them. I actually fancied Motherwell to get something in that game, so well done to Ross County.
Okie dokie. St Johnstone winning against Kilmarnock. So again, St Johnstone pulling clear. A win after three consecutive losses before that, so they needed that. Kilmarnock, it seems like every time they get their season started, it stops again, and another sending off.
Derek McInnes must be pulling his hair out.
6 red cards this season.
Is that how many it is?
Yeah.
How many games we played? 12?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
13.
That's just ridiculous. Yeah. They've got an issue there, obviously.
39 crosses, 14 corners, and only one shot on target for Kilmarnock.
Yeah. They're having a very inconsistent up and down season, aren't they? But again, they're going to be fine. They're not going to be dragged into any relegation problems.
Also on Saturday, Rangers 1, Dundee United 1. So first time that Rangers have actually dropped points at Ibrox this season.
I called it.
But they are now, I mean, they've dropped 13 points in their opening 12 games.
Shocking. And we were doing the big Saturday football show.
And 11 points behind Celtic.
We were doing the big Saturday football show, and ahead of the game, I said I fancied Dundee United to get something from the game. And the reason that I said that is because I'd watched Rangers for 90 minutes against Hearts at Ibrox, and they won it by a goal to nil. And on another day, Hearts should really have got something from the game. We didn't deserve to lose it. And I thought Rangers were so bang average that I thought Dundee United, who've had a great start to the season, defensively really good, and they've got a goal in their team, I thought they could get something. So I went for a draw. And I was right, and it's not often I'm right. But that just tells you how bad Rangers are, where you're actually looking at a newly promoted team going to Ibrox and being able to get a result. That's how bad they are. There are people going, yeah, Dundee United might get something in that game. They're in a mess.
Yeah, they really are.
And talking to Rangers, they've just announced just this morning
A new CEO. Patrick Stewart, the guy for X-Men. Uh-huh. So Captain Jean-Luc Picard is right. Taking over. But it's the 14th of December, I think, he's taking over, something like that.
So he's stepping into the new role after they've played Spurs and Celtic.
Right.
So it's Spurs in the Europa League on the Thursday, then it's a cup final on the Sunday against Celtic, and then after the cup final, on the Monday, he walks through the door. He could have come in the week before, but it's like, nah, I don't think I want to be there when we're playing Spurs and Celtic in the same week. I'll come in after those two games.
Let's be honest. Celtic will be absolutely licking their lips at the prospect of playing Rangers in the final now.
Yeah, I thought they were excellent in the second half against Hearts. We'll get to that in just a second. But I do think Rangers are bang average.
I mean, there's also, like, it's easy to forget, Dundee United were in the Championship last season.
That's the point. But we were saying how all of us, you, me, Steve Cowan, were going, that tricky game that for Rangers. At no point in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years would you have said that. You'd have went, Rangers win.
Yeah.
But when you're actually debating, do you think Dundee United could get the game, tells you how bad they are and how far they've fallen backwards.
Yeah.
They're in a mess.
Dundee United, though. Only one loss in 7 away games for them this season. They're 3 points behind Rangers. They have played a game more. They've only lost one game on the road this season.
What a great start that is. Well done. I mean, Jim Goodwin, fair play to the boys. Done a great job there.
Totally 100%. Sam Dalby as well. Dalby. Have you seen that?
He scored goals for them.
Yeah, totally. So, 4th consecutive game and 5 goals in his last 6. So, yeah.
You've got the league table in front of you. How many points are behind Rangers?
3. They've played a game more, though.
But again, Dundee United only 3 points behind Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Shouldn't be like that.
But it's great though, it's great for the game.
Elsewhere on Saturday, Aberdeen fall into their first league loss in 21 matches.
Called this as well.
You did call this. St Mirren 2, Aberdeen 1, Olisana and Taylor with the goals and McGrath equalising. We were saying though, it was a pretty poor first half from Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. And then again, Jimmy Tilleen makes 2 subs at halftime and immediately they equalise. Kevin Nisbet, one of the subs, immediately involved. He does have a wee sort of knack of doing that, but you can't be putting in below par performances all the time in the first half and expecting to turn it around in the second half all the time.
And they ran out of luck at the weekend, and St Mirren deserved their win. They're by far the better team. And again, we discussed it before the game kicked off, and I just fancied St Mirren after watching them beat Hibs by 2-1 at home. They're always a tricky side, and Aberdeen's record in Paisley isn't great anyway, so I fancied St Mirren to win. I just wish I'd put a bet on.
Aberdeen remain 8 points in front of Rangers, though, despite that loss. And St Mirren, 10 points from the last 12. And they are 3 points clear in sixth place ahead of Dundee in the top six. Elsewhere, Dundee fell behind against Hibs on Saturday night. However, then Hibs. Hibs happened.
Hibs do Hibs things.
And yeah, absolutely felt a bit after the sending off, and ended up Dundee 4, Hibs 1. Now we had
but even with 11 players, Hibs were losing that game because Dundee were all over them. They just capitulated. I know the sending off will have an effect on the game, but I've watched many games over the years, Stephen, where sometimes the 10 men are actually more difficult to beat than when they've got 11 on the pitch, because your mindset changes, and Hibs were just too easy to play against. It's like they themselves had just thrown in the towel. They were just poor. And you know how bad it is when they're dropping players like Boyle to the bench. Because I think his best days are over. I think Hibs are... we're saying that Rangers are in a mess. I think Hibs are in and they're going down. Unless they do something dramatic, they're gone.
I mean, the other team that are having a nightmare at the moment are Hearts.
We're
because
right.
they're only a point in front of it.
We're okay.
I know you're saying this, right?
But we are okay.
I know you're saying this. But you need to start winning matches.
We will. We're going through a tough period just now of fixtures. We've got Aberdeen next at Tynecastle, and we'll beat Aberdeen.
Okay.
We're going to beat Aberdeen at Tynecastle next weekend. So we'll get 3 points there. Hearts will be fine. I have no worries about Hearts. I thought Celtic in the second half were excellent, and some of the goals they scored, phenomenal.
I did think watching the match that, you know...
We're a good side. We're just unlucky. We're just not carrying any luck. If we scored the first goal, Stephen, first goal was key. And if we scored the first goal, we don't lose to Celtic. I think the first goal was key. When we concede, that's my opinion.
But I mean, my opinion. The second half at Celtic just stepped out. Like first half, Hearts were better team.
No.
You've had your say. What I was going to say was, I thought Hearts played well in the first half. Didn't take their chances though. Again.
Correct.
So that was the problem. And I was like, this is going to come back to bite them. Celtic didn't play well in the first half at all.
Correct.
Probably got a wee bit of roasting at half time, and they came out in the second half and it was like they were playing a different sport from Hearts.
But up until they scored the goal, yeah, they were the better team at the start of the second half, but there wasn't really much in it. And then they get a lucky first goal that opened up the floodgates. That deflection, it bounces to Kyogo.
Does it not worry you, though, like the way Hearts reacted to the first goal?
Yeah, that did worry. That was my main concern. But what I also liked is that Critchley, our new head coach, didn't just accept when we went 2-0 down. He put in a couple of strikers and he was going to go for it. We created chances.
It was a good goal, actually. See it 2-0
if we score that chance. Now, this just tells you everything about Shankland just now, the confidence in the boy. Instead of having a shot at goal, he tries to square it. When he was in on goal, he's got no confidence in front of goal. So listen, the reason I have no worries about Hearts, we're playing really well. I thought we were great at Ibrox, and we were unlucky not to get something from it.
So
we were great against Heidenheim in the Europa League, outstanding, and we got nothing from it. We were unlucky against Celtic. I thought we deserved something out of the game, but you have to give credit to Celtic. But again, you've pointed this out, and I'm going to point out as well, as good as we were, you give Celtic half a chance with the quality that they've got, they're going to punish you, and that's what they did. Hearts can't bring on a £9 million striker, which they did. We can't bring on a £4 million midfielder in Bernardo, which they did. Their squad is phenomenal. They have strength and depth, which is why they're flying in Europe. They're going to walk this league. They are going to dominate Scottish football for years to come. Rangers have never been so far behind than they are right now to Celtic. And the proof of that, Aberdeen are ahead of them and Dundee United are only 3 points behind them. Celtic are a fantastic football team and they are way too good for the Scottish Premiership. And you could see that the weekend with the strength and depth.
So they play Club Bruges during the week. I think Club Bruges won something like 6-0 at the weekend or something.
Yeah, they did. Club Bruges have got some mixed results in the Champions League, but I still think Celtic at home. I mean, I've called it all season before a ball was kicked. They're going to get out of that group. And I would not rule Celtic out finishing in the top eight. I think they've got it in them to get... I think the next couple of games, I think they can get 6 points. And that would put them on 14, would it?
Something like that, yeah.
I think they've got a great chance. Genuinely got a great chance. And the problem that Celtic have got about finishing in the top eight is that result that Aston Villa got in the last round of games when they're expected to win, they lost by a goal to... Was that not Club Bruges?
I think it was Club Bruges,
aye,
yeah.
That when yeah. Tyrone Mings picked the ball up and gave them a pick. It was. They beat Villa in the penalty. So I think Aston Villa might have to get a result when Celtic go there for the final game. Do you know what I mean? Because I thought if Aston Villa had already secured their position and place...
Well, Aston Villa are having a bit of a nightmare just now.
They've lost five in a row.
Yeah.
So lost four in a row. And they haven't won in five and they've drawn one because drew 2-2 at the weekend. But I think Celtic... Listen, what a chance they've got to finish in the top eight and qualify for the knockout stages without going through the playoffs.
Celtic played Ross County on Saturday. Hearts fixtures, by the way, you mentioned it's Aberdeen on Sunday, like you said. Then it's at home to Dundee, then away to Kilmarnock.
Yeah, those are all winnable games for me. See, for me, we need 7 points. I would expect minimum 7 points from those three games.
Okay.
What's Celtic's next bunch of games? Have you got that there?
Celtic are home to Ross County, away to Aberdeen, and then at home to Hibs.
And what's Rangers' next three fixtures?
Sorry. Rangers are away to St Johnstone on Sunday, tough. Then at home to Kilmarnock, then away to Ross County.
A couple of tough away fixtures there.
So that's how it's looking at this moment in time. Right. Celtic obviously remain top, unbeaten at 11 wins.
Can we have a wee now that we're sitting here with Celtic 3 points clear? Producer John, want you involved in this as well. What's the date today? 25th? 25th of November?
Yeah.
How many points will Celtic win the league by? Let's all have a wee guess. What do we think? And there's two questions here. Will they go unbeaten in the league? So, producer John, will Celtic go unbeaten in the league this year?
No.
You say no? Stephen?
I don't know.
That's not the answer to the question.
No, I'm thinking though. I will give you
an answer. I'm going to say yes. I think they'll remain unbeaten. I can't see anyone beating them.
I think no, because I think they'll have an off day at some point and somebody will beat them.
They'll get to the end of the season and they'll rest players. No, they won't.
I'll tell you why they won't do it. Because if they're unbeaten towards the end of the season and want to keep that going.
I think somebody will catch them out at some point.
Christmas and New Year is where they're likely to possibly not win a game. Okay, so how many points are they winning the league by?
John?
15.
15 plus,
yeah.
I'll agree with John. I think 15 plus.
I'm going to go 20 plus.
20 plus.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
But I mean, they've only dropped 2 points after 12
plus
games. So.
20 plus. And for me, unbeaten, I cannot see anyone in the league beating them. Because see, when you look at that bench, it's scary.
Yeah. Okay, Championship. There was only two matches across the weekend on Saturday. Unfortunately, one of the games that did go ahead was Ayr United versus Dunfermline. And of course, it was another defeat for Dunfermline. That is...
Sorry, what was that?
That's four defeats in the last six.
Sorry. Who lost at the weekend?
Dunfermline got beat 1-0.
Dunfermline got beat at the weekend.
So that's only 3 wins.
Who was that against Ayr?
Yep, was Ayr. That was ninth defeat.
No, he lost at the weekend. Dunfermline! -23 now, -23 over in fight, Stephen. Do you know who won at the weekend, though? You know who won? Ewan, do you know who won at the weekend in the Championship?
The Bairns, mate, the Bairns! The Bairns!
Bounce back ability, there he said. Bounce back ability! Jumping back from the Livingston defeat. Bouncing back with a win, 6 points clear at the top of the league.
Just stay in the middle, John, right, and look right down the camera.
Yes.
And I just want everyone to acknowledge how much you look like Marv from Home Alone at the moment. So I just want everyone to get that image.
Doesn't matter, Stephen. I'll take Marv from Home Alone, and I'll also take the Bears being top of the league. 6 points clear. Get it up, yes.
Especially Dunfermline. Unlucky, Stephen.
Bye.
Bye,
babies.
He does look like Marv.
Now
I can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it now. He does look like Marv.
And he looks like Marv the right time of year.
He totally does. He's getting into the festive spirit. One of the best Christmas films ever.
Listen, we're willing to hire Marv out if you want him to come round your house to rob you for a bit of fun.
That would be the Wet Bandits.
Aye.
You can, we'll have to find like a wee person to go as...
A wee dumpy person.
Joe Pesci.
Aye. But we can send Marv round to your house in a beanie.
Yeah, that's fine.
And rob your house for a bit of fun. Producer John, are you there? He's still dancing.
I am. Sir. Stephen can be my Joe Pesci.
John?
Yes.
John, so listen, in all seriousness, you needed that after last week's defeat to Livingston. It was a really tough place to go. Hampden, Queen's Park had been playing well. You win by a goal tonight. I understand it was one going on four or five. The performance was really good. You got any stats to back up your performances in recent weeks?
I've got some fortunate stats for fortunate Falkirk, Ewan. So in the Championship, currently, Falkirk are the highest goal scorers. We've scored 28. Airdrie are 10th, scoring only 6. Goals against, Airdrie have conceded 27 and are top of that list. However, Falkirk are 10th on that list, only conceding 9.
No, we're with the now. Partick Thistle have only conceded 9.
Yeah, Partick Thistle have only conceded 9.
Partick Thistle have only conceded 9 and they've played a game less.
Right, okay then.
So,
but then they could concede more, Stephen, so that might happen as well. Points at home. Ayr and Falkirk have both taken 19 points at home. Airdrie have only taken 4. Points away from home. Falkirk top, 16. Airdrie, Dunfermline and Raith, oh, it makes such good reading, have only taken 1 point away from home. And average attendance-wise, Ewan, Falkirk have got an average attendance of 6,216 people this season, while Hamilton are bottom of that with only 1,507.
Producer John, go and give me that stat again about the points away from home. Who's at the bottom of the table?
Airdrie, Dunfermline and Raith Rovers.
Only a point away from
only
home.
Only 1 point away from home poor. All season. It is poor, isn't it?
The thing for Dunfermline...
And our point was away to Airdrie.
But the thing about Dunfermline... I think you're fortunate that Airdrie are as bad as they are, because I don't think Dunfermline...
Fortunate Dunfermline, you say, you.
I don't
fortunate
think...
Dunfermline.
Dunfermline won't get relegated. That's not going to happen. And then when your new owners come in, clean slate, you start again next year, and you'll be in the Championship.
McPake's gone, isn't he?
He's going to go.
It's as soon as the new owners are in, McPake's gone, Stephen, isn't he?
He's just holding the fort until the new owners come in.
I would find it astonishing if he didn't go in the next wee while, to be honest with you. I've got no insider info on that, but, you know, do you know the thing? I think the fans are almost, like, not even angry anymore, which is almost worse than being angry. And I think
there's an apathy.
And I think it feels like the club's just in complete limbo at the moment until the takeover goes through. So hopefully that is soon
to be resolved. But you'll be fine. You're not going to get relegated.
Well, you're shite at predictions, so I'm not going to take any.
Say it again, Ewan.
Hold on a second. I called Dundee United drawing with Rangers. I called St Mirren beating Aberdeen. I called Dundee beating Hibernian, right? I also said Hearts would get something against Celtic, so I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you also said Hearts were going to finish second in the league this season, Ewan.
I got that wrong.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You're shite at predictions. Yeah.
See that?
So you saying that Dunfermline aren't going to relegate it is actually filling me with dread.
They won't. 25th of November, here we are on the podcast, Dunfermline won't get relegated.
Right.
And even if you get in the playoffs, the shite below you in League One, you ain't going to lose over two legs to any of them. See that word I just used? I use this word quite a bit, but I'm not quite sure what it means. Can you do a Google search on it for me, please, Producer John? The word apathy. There's an apathy amongst us.
It means just not to feel anything, doesn't it?
Well, go and give me the definition of it. Because that's what I would describe Dunfermline fans, but I'm not quite sure what the word means.
It just means past the point of caring.
Lack of interest, enthusiasm or concern.
Yes. There you go. I've used that word many times over the years. I'm not quite sure what it meant, but it always sounded good.
Yeah, I think there is there's a definite apathy. And, you know, I think... I can't see McPake lasting much longer, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Go and put the word apathy in a sentence without it not connected to football, Producer John.
All right, okay. Not to do with football.
Not to do with football. The word apathy, put in a sentence.
You're putting me on the spot here.
You're correct.
Well, when I listen to M people, I feel apathy. No, I actually don't. I hate M People. They're the worst band on the planet.
Why do you hate M People?
They are, honestly. There's, like, see my idea of hell, right? Is IKEA on a Sunday, right? Yeah. And you're lost in IKEA because you know what's like in IKEA, right? And you're walking about and you know what's playing? That Muzak. And you know what's on that? M People in Simply Red. And you're lost in IKEA and you're wandering about constantly and that Muzak version of M People in Simply Red's playing. That is my idea of hell.
But then at the end of that, you're going to get some meatballs and chips.
Meatballs and apple cider, pear cider. Yeah,
I think IKEA's hellish. It really is.
The only reason I go to IKEA is for the meatballs and chips and that gravy.
I got lost in an M&S yesterday.
You're not 12.
No, I. So if it's the M&S.
Please tell me your wife Anna got the woman to shout out. Could Stephen please make his way to the telly area?
Was this like the episode of Father Ted, Stephen? Did you get stuck in the lingerie?
It was Edinburgh's largest lingerie section that I got lost in.
Not that Ewan would know because he's not watched Father Ted yet.
No, so I was just myself and I was going to go and get the train and I had like 15 minutes to get the train and I was like, I'm actually quite hungry though. And there was an M&S right across for the pub. So I was like, I'll go down there. So I went in and it was like, oh, food court downstairs. So I went downstairs and it was like, food court downstairs again. I was like, for fuck's sake. So it's like two escalators down, found the food court and then got a sandwich, got a bag of crisps. And then I was like, right, I'll go and get the train. And then I came back up and I was like, is it this floor that I need to get off on? And then I wandered around the floor and I was like, no, it's not this one. And I went up and then I couldn't find the exit. So I came back down again.
Both escalators?
Yeah, so I came back down to the middle bit. I had to ask someone, how do I get out of here? And then I got out at the wrong entrance and then I missed the train.
So they took you out the other side.
Yeah, I mean that wasn't their fault.
There's two different ways to get in.
Yeah,
and if you come out the other side, you're on the opposite side to the train station.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I know where you are.
That was the way I came out, and I missed my train and had to get a bus home instead. So that was quite annoying.
Oh no, you wish you had to get a bus.
I quite like the bus. I don't mind the bus.
When they put on the replacement buses, it does my head in.
I know. No, I wasn't a replacement bus. It was just a normal bus.
Oh, the normal bus. I don't mind that. The replacement bus is where it stops at every train station.
As long as you get the best seat on the bus, which is
the very front,
upstairs at the very front on the right, so yeah. You can pretend to be the driver. In League One, only one game survived, and it was Montrose 2, Annan 1 on Saturday. So that means Montrose are up to 6th in the table, but only 2 points behind league leaders Kelty Hearts. Elsewhere, no games in League 2 to tell you about, but we can move on to some refereeing decisions. La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? Right then, there was a few VAR checks and stuff on Saturday. There was a check on Zach Robinson's goal for offside. But obviously, when it comes to offsides, they rarely, rarely get it wrong. And they didn't on Saturday. Right, Liam Donnelly sent off for a second yellow for Kilmarnock. Any complaints?
No complaints.
Potential penalty shout for Sidibe for a foul from Brad Lyons.
Not having it.
Rangers. Proper had the ball in the back of the net, but there was a handball in the build-up with Barron. No complaints there, I don't think.
No complaints. Again, the handball led to a goal, so it had to be chopped off.
So, John Beaton initially gave Alex Gogish a red card in St Mirren versus Aberdeen, downgraded to a yellow.
Fair play to the boy.
So, John Beaton went across, looked at it, changed his mind, brought it down to a yellow. No. I think it was right. I think it was a yellow. But I was a wee bit surprised that he didn't stick with his decision because, see, if you watched it at full speed from where the referee was, I can totally understand why he gave a red card.
Yeah, I get that, but that's why VAR's there.
Totally.
To correct a wrong.
So I think the yellow card was the right decision. Dundee Hibs, there'll be a challenge.
What's he thinking, man?
Like, what is he thinking?
What is he thinking? Going in like that with the side of your foot with the studs up, down on his ankle. What are you thinking? It's a red card every day of the week.
Yeah. No, just very silly.
Just stupid 12 minutes into the game and you're 1-0 up.
And then in the Hearts Celtic game, there wasn't much. George Grant's challenging James Forrest for the penalty.
Puts in the up. I thought Forrest did well, controlled it, was about to pull the trigger with his left foot. George Grant stands in his way, lifts his leg up, penalty, stonewaller. And then Adamida does what Adamida does. You pay £9 million for a penalty taker.
Yeah, pretty much. And that is it for VRWTF this week. This is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Told you.
With Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, overrated, underrated. Each week, myself and Ewan bring something to the table that we think is overrated, that we think is underrated, and it's up to you to cast your vote, whether you agree or disagree. So last week, I nominated song Freed from Desire as being overrated because it's played too much and it's just
it's annoying now.
It's a crutch for people now, I think, who are stadium announcers and stuff. They're like, oh, just put that on.
Can I read out a message about that?
Yes, you can.
From a boy called Josh who loves the podcast. Thanks for listening, Josh. I've been following Scotland home and away for about 13, 14 years. The first time I remember them playing Freed from Desire at Hampden, it was a win against Slovakia in 2017, and we're still playing it. The world has moved on. See it full time now. There is nothing more deflating when this tune comes on. Not only has the world moved on, but it's not even our song. At least with Yes Sir I Can Boogie, it was original. It played before we left for the Euros when we drew that ridiculous 3-3 game against Norway. For fuck's sake. We need a better playlist at Hampden. It's utter dross. The same pish every game. Loch Lomond at half-time, you can bank on it. At full-time, rocking all over the world. Why play the same shite every game? You know it, we know it. Is it a DJ thing? Why are we getting the same playlist for the last 8 years? Overrated, it's not even a debate. Rant over, says Josh.
So I'll be putting him down in the overrated camp, you would say.
I think he is overrated.
I think so, yeah.
I think he's overrated.
John says, like Carnival de Paris post-France 98, it's been overplayed everywhere with too many teams and competitions using it. Time to shelve it for something else. That guy called Ross, it's a good tune though. Fed up of hearing it. Alan says, it's all right when you're pissed. And Paul says, I voted na-na-na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na.
Nah.
Nah.
And that's the reason we've asked your opinion on it, because we think, well, for me anyway, overrated. I've had enough of it. I can't even listen to it in a pub. It does my block in.
I love Everywhere Fish Finger says it's overrated and wish they stopped playing it at East End. It's not there with me.
You can't charge a playlist at East End.
Yeah, but I can't. You can lead a horse to water.
All right. But the playlist you put forward, do you put that song in when you put your playlist in?
Rarely.
Rarely, and rightly so. It's definitely overrated for me, and I'd love to know what the people of Scotland think. So we've got a result.
I think we do have a result.
Do we have a result?
I think we've got a result.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get the result.
Let's get the result
then. For the overrated, underrated, let's do this.
Okay, here we go.
Why is he so slow? What
John.
The fuck is going on, man? I set it up. Let's get the result.
You know what? You can introduce the drum roll this week, because obviously me and John have just not got a connection when it comes to this.
So but I set it up.
I know, exactly.
So I just said, let's get the result of overrated,
hold
underrated.
On, hold on, Jimmy. Jimmy's waiting for the count.
Your acting's pish, mate. There's nobody else in that room with you.
What are you talking about?
Stop pretending that there's something else in that room. There isn't. We just need the bucking drum roll to give the result for overrated, underrated.
I've told Jimmy 1, 2, 3, go.
No, I set it up.
Right, okay.
I set it
up again.
But John, I just did set it up. How many
set
times have you
set it up?
I says, let's get
set
the result
again,
for...
Set it up again, set it up again.
Let's get the result for overrated, underrated, for Freed for Desire. Is it overrated or underrated? Let's find out. After...
What was wrong with that drum roll? It's only about a second long.
I went after and I was going to go 1, 2, 3.
Oh, were you going to go 1, 2, 3? Right.
Yeah, because you do 3, 2, 1, so I was going to do it differently.
Okay, right, go for it.
So let's get the result for overrated, underrated after 1, 2, 3. It's the click. Did you hear the click?
Aye, you need to stop.
John,
you need to
how
stop
many
the click,
times
John?
Have we told you to pull the fader down when we tell you to play the drums?
Right, Jimmy, go on.
Stephen, you do it, mate.
Right, okay.
You're
counting
down, Jimmy.
No, it's fine, I'll do it.
Right, you're counting down or counting
up. Because for 3 weeks now, I've pulled up four fingers. For 3 weeks now, we've heard the click of you pressing the button. We don't need the click.
I'm not clicking any button.
Yeah.
We can hear it.
I've got Jimmy the drummer.
Stephen, take it away.
Jimmy the drummer.
Right, okay. So we're counting down. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh. No, it's 3, 2, 1, go. John, we discussed this. All right.
How many times have you said to about 3-2-1 goal?
Don't know. Millions. We just need to get the result now. 3-2-1 go. What was that? What sort of drum roll was that?
What do you mean?
That's the wrong drum roll.
That's a shite drum roll.
It was way longer than the last week.
Drum roll.
He shortened it.
Play that one again.
He shortened it this week.
Play that again. Let me hear that.
Jimmy, hit the drum roll again.
That's too short.
That's not a drum roll.
That's not the one we've been using.
Nah, that's...
Get the other one.
Get the other one.
Do you want a longer one?
Well, yeah. The one that we've used every week.
Exactly.
Right, Jimmy, the one longer.
It's to build up the tension.
Right, okay. Count me in again, Stephen. I'll get Jimmy to do it.
3-2-1 go.
That's too long. He's taking the piss now.
You're taking the piss, John.
It's not even funny now.
It's not even funny. It's far past being funny.
Do you know what? You're trying to be funny, and it isn't. You're no funny, mate.
It's no funny.
Just give us the one we normally...
Three, two, one, go.
Wait, start again. No. Start again, because I interrupted it that time. That was my fault.
Okay, right.
You're three. His feelings.
Shut up, John. Just shut up and play the one that we always play. Stop trying to be an arse.
3-2-1 go. 60% agree and say it's overrated.
Yes, get rid of it. Who's in charge again at Hampden? Is it the Eastons?
It is the Eastons, yeah.
Right, the people of Scotland have spoken. Get rid of it. Thank you. I'll pass it on to them.
Okie dokie. I don't have anything for this week, but I Love Fish Fingers has suggested something.
I thought you were going to ask if fish fingers are overrated or underrated.
And he says, or she says, fajitas are underrated, so underrated for me. And I think fajitas are amazing. I think they're one of the best dinners. Fajitas are class. I think they're brilliant.
Do you go sour cream?
Salsa.
And guacamole.
Yes.
The works. Peppers, red and green peppers.
Cheese, onions. Yes.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen.
I've got wee pickled onions. Not like pickled onions, like the wee round ones. But you chop up a red onion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then put it in a jar with vinegar. And you've got your own homemade pickled onions.
Does it work?
Tremendous.
I would give that a go.
Wee sort of squeezy lime.
Aye. Nice.
What are you going for? Are you going for chicken? Are you going for beef?
I'm more of a chicken guy when it comes to fajitas, but I don't mind beef every now and then, but mostly chicken.
Oh, I love fajitas. I think they're...
So do I.
I think they're amazing.
So do I. Does he think they're underrated?
He thinks they're underrated. That not as many people like fajitas as they should. So why don't we set that up for next week?
I like that. Well, for me, they are underrated. I agree with the boy. What's his name?
I love fish fingers.
I'm not a big fan of fish fingers. I think they're a kid's meal.
Yeah. So I think we'll go with that. So fajitas, underrated or not, let us know. At Big Football Scott, you can leave your comments on YouTube as well if you want to add to the chat. And remember, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram as well. And you can see our mugs and how much producer John looks like Marv from Home Alone. If you go to the Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard, give us a follow there.
Do you think there is something in us sending producer John as Marv to somebody's house with kids, so the kids think they've actually got Marv?
This is very strange.
Yeah, that is quite strange, Ian.
No, but parents arrange, like, for Santa to come around to the house or an elf to come around to the house. What if we were to arrange...
Like that video of the Grinch coming around. Yes. And just wrecks the house. That's amazing.
You suggested I go and become... Me and Stephen could go around as Marv and
the
Harry,
Wet Bandits.
The Wet Bandits and flood people's houses.
Yeah, and you just, like, a black sack on your back and you have the wee beanie hat on and you turn
you
up
can
and
get
you
get, like, an iron print on your face as well.
Marv didn't wear the beanie hat. It was Harry.
Because he gets the blowtorch and the hat, obviously. Yeah.
I think there's something in that.
Okay.
Like, scare wee kids with our version of Marv turning up at the house to rob their Christmas tree.
It is uncanny. I've never seen it before.
Can you imagine they just left the door open, didn't tell the kids, and the kids have just had their dinner, they're in their pyjamas, they're watching telly before they go to their bed.
And Marv comes in.
And mum and dad know that Marv's about to walk in, and Marv walks in, as an AKA producer John, and goes under the Christmas tree and just steals the presents.
That would be great. That would be
good. We could arrange that.
We probably could.
We should, actually.
No, we should.
But in the meantime, we've got a mystery football to try and guess.
Oh, hi.
So, yes and no questions only. So far we know they aren't playing in the Premiership, they're not a woman, and haven't played in the Champions League. Darren Lumsden says, watch the Mass footballer to be... The Mass footballer to be one of Ewan's two best friends, Col Donaldson or James Penrice. Producer John just trying to wind him up and see if he can get it. A sort of like double bluff.
Could it be James?
Could be. Well, no, because he doesn't play in the Premiership, so actually it rules him out. Could be Col Donaldson, though.
It wouldn't be Col, would it? Would he do that? Because he wouldn't think we'd think that because it's too close to home. Nah, he was too excited for it to be Col Donaldson. I still think it's somebody big time. I still think it's somebody who is like a huge player.
Like a Scottish internationalist?
Aye, something like that. I think it's somebody big because he was delighted.
Well, if they're big, they must have played with Scotland.
But they haven't played with the Old Firm.
No, we've not asked that.
Have we not? What have we asked?
They're not playing in the Premiership just now. They're not a woman, and they haven't played in the Champions League. So that would probably rule out either playing with Celtic or Rangers because they have played in the Champions League.
Oh, well done. Well done. Should we go?
But they could have played like down south or something, or...
But then they wouldn't have been in the Champions League down south because they haven't played in the Champions League.
Right. Right, but there's lots of teams down south. Like they could have played for, I don't know, like fucking West Ham.
See, we messed up last week by saying, did they play in European competition? By just asking the Champions League.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, lots of, like, Jim Hamilton's played in European competition.
Yeah. Did it with Hearts?
Did it with Dunfermline.
Did they?
Yeah, we got beat by BK Hecken.
He was playing?
Yeah.
What do we ask, though? Because I feel like
I think he got sent off in the second leg. I think I'm right.
What can we ask?
Do we go down that international route?
If he's a Scotland internationalist?
Or have I played for my country at a senior level?
Yeah. Let's not go specific Scotland, in case it's Welsh or Irish or Dutch or whatever.
Do you want me to ask that?
Yeah, international football. Let's see if we've got an international player in our midst.
Okay. Mass footballer. Have you played for your country at a senior international level?
Aye.
Right, okay. So that means, like, none of John's, like, farting about here. This is, they've played for...
Senior.
Like, the actual international team.
Is that right, John? Aye.
Aye.
Right, okay.
Well, it's not Col Donaldson, then.
No,
it's not good enough.
It's not Col Donaldson. So keep your shouts coming in for that on @BigFootballScot. Let us know what you think. And let's move on to Around the Grounds. And we're doing something a wee bit different this week. We have a data analyst on the show. You might have followed him on social media as well. He does lots of great work, lots of good stuff. His name is John Walker and he joins us on the podcast right now. How are you doing, John?
I'm all right, Stephen. How's yourself?
Good, yeah. Thanks very much for coming on. So listen, just briefly, for people who may not follow you on social media and know what you do, what do you do in terms of football? What is your role?
I'm an absolute laptop virgin stats gimp, if you listen to what's been said. No, so I did my coaching badges years ago, realised there's a kind of closed-door policy if you've not played the game. So analysis was probably a good route into the semi-professional game. I worked with Darvo, East Kilbride, Queen's Park Women, and that's what I've been doing. But more recently, I've just been kind of doing stuff on Twitter, mainly around Rangers, looking into Scottish football as well and areas in which they can improve on, because there is this big glaring gap and omission in Scottish football that we just refuse to see where everything's moving towards, which is a kind of data-fulfilled sport. And that's what I'm trying to pigeonhole myself.
And what have you found in all your data analysis across Scottish football in the time that you've worked on it?
It's really, like, so nothing specifically stands out with Scottish football. Obviously, there's a lower passing and lower percentage of passing and playing out from the back that happens in pretty much every league around Europe and every pyramid around Europe. Most teams are kind of moving to that Pep Guardiola style of football, which...
Well, even here in Scotland?
We will eventually, yeah. We will have to. I think the introduction of Jamestown's link with Hearts. You'll see them move. I think anyone that's watched, despite the results, anyone that's watched Hearts in the last two, three games would see that Hearts are definitely an improved team with the ball. When they start to add Jamestown's data analytics to the recruitment side and the coaching side, you'll see Hearts start to play that way and dominate the ball more and create more chances, the way that Aberdeen have already done that by employing a manager who had been in a league and a team who were already doing this stuff and were streets ahead. So I do think eventually we will catch up and that will be the reality that we'll need to face.
So say that deal that Hearts have done with Brighton and their way of analysing managers, players and how to go about setting up a team, how beneficial will that be to Hearts, in your opinion, knowing what they do?
I think it will be huge because Jamestown stands out.
Why?
Across Europe. We don't really know. We cannot get in because they're very kind of... The reason that Hearts is so appealing is because they've got an exclusive deal with Hearts. So whatever they're doing, whether it's USG in Belgium, whether it's Brighton, whether it's now Hearts, nobody will speak outside of what they're doing. I think they even have confidentiality agreements with their data technicians who do the reporting on players. So I think they kind of know they've got something. And to be fair, there's a lot of people that are able to utilise it. It's not like... They're probably not doing anything that's outside the realm when you look at what they're doing in Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL. Like, there's, we're talking on improving Scottish football. The NBA were using it to change the style of game and looking for 3-point throws that were above average rather than people that were going for people that could dribble with the ball and people could attack the court better. People were looking for 3-pointers because obviously 3 points is more than 2 points, is more than 1 point. So try and find people that fit that data model. Same with the Major League Baseball. Anyone that's watched Moneyball will see that they stopped looking for the star players. They looked at people who could get on base, who could get runs in, who could clear two bases.
So this is all they were in. So this isn't about star players as such. It's more about putting together a team that will work together.
Yeah, because what we're seeing and what I like about Hearts and what Aberdeen are doing is Rangers and Celtic are asleep at the wheel. Celtic are getting away with it because they've appointed good coaches. Brendan Rodgers is the best UK-based coach. Ange Postecoglou was a breath of fresh air when it came to Scottish football. Rangers have appointed indifferently, we'll say. And what Hearts and Aberdeen are doing is going, see if we get the data right and the recruitment right on the data side and we apply coaches and we apply these principles that are working at Brighton, working at USG, are working in Scandinavian countries. If we can close the gap in Rangers, we could theoretically get to second place and close that gap because Rangers and Celtic have got almost too much money than sense and they don't need to think about how they do it properly. They think they can just throw money at the problem, sign £4 million player after £4 million player. As long as you get Champions League money, you're okay, you'll be fine. Hearts and Aberdeen are looking at it from the right lens, and I think Hearts... Maybe not January. It might become the summer window when they can get people properly bedded in. I think once they look at that and get this correct and get it in place, I don't see how it fails, to be honest.
Really? You've got me even more excited now, mate.
So is it just that old sort of adage of, like, you know, don't work harder, work smarter sort of thing?
Yeah, make your money work as well, because one of the things that I've never understood, for example, if I use my own team, Rangers, unfortunately, just now... They probably pay the manager between 1 and 1.3 million a year. And there's not been success that's followed with that. Whereas what a lot of these companies and clubs are doing is they hire a young manager who they can get for good money on a good salary. But what they do is spend loads of money in research and development, loads of money in data analysts, loads of money in set piece analysts, so that they get all the backup information correct for the coach. And it's almost as if you look at Major League Baseball and NBA, it's a little bit like the coach doesn't really matter, whereas we put so much onus on who the manager is. And I think you've seen that with Hearts fans who were maybe a wee bit downtrodden when Neil Critchley was appointed, with Aberdeen fans who were going, who is Jimmy Tilleen? But these companies and clubs are following data, and that's what everyone around Scandinavia has been doing. It's what Brighton have been doing. It's what Union Saint-Gilloise have been doing. It seems to be working. It's working now in the NBA. It's working in the NFL. People are using it because it works. And I think Major League Baseball is probably the best example because we've all seen Moneyball. But what caught on with Major League Baseball was that the top teams then realised that Moneyball was a good way of doing it. And they went, could we not do that, but with paying a better standard of player on top of the good data modelling? So they then took it away from everyone again and used the money to implement the same types of ideas.
So basically, if Celtic caught on to this, then we may as well all give up.
Yeah, but the problem Celtic have got is Brendan Rodgers has got a brilliant background in coaching, and he will not listen. He wants people signed from top five leagues. He doesn't want necessarily to have somebody come to him and say, we've got the next Matt O'Riley. He wants a Matt O'Riley now and then.
He's the old style manager from back in the day where he's got control of the club and who comes in and who leaves, etc. And eventually that will change. But what you're saying to me, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of Hearts fans and Aberdeen fans with their ears pricked just now, is that Hearts and Aberdeen are putting in a process right now that you think they'll reap benefits from in the next year or two?
Probably not next year. I think you'll see a change in the next year or two. I think what you'll see is over the next 3 to 5 years, Aberdeen have already had a good player trading model, so they're fine on that end. I think they just need to keep replicating that. I think if we look at Kiskanen, looks really good. The striker, Papiski, that's injured, looks really good. That there are players in there that fit their model that will improve. I think Jack McKenzie's one in the system, looks good. Hearts will probably start to see more of that when we see what type of players and what type of profile Jamestown's going to bring to the Scottish League, because right now it's been Brighton and USG, it's been probably easy to manage in the leagues they've settled in. But I think Hearts are probably a really good proposition for them. So I think it'll be interesting to see what Hearts' window's like in the summer to see which type of profile. I'd imagine it will be younger players. It'll be from the continents that we've maybe not touched before with Hearts.
Because Hearts' goal scorer on Saturday night is one of those players you're talking about. The boy that we signed from Sevilla B is one of those boys that came out quite well in regards to the data analysis. So we could see more of that. But is that also not detrimental to Scottish players and those players getting an opportunity? If we're scouring Europe and the rest of the world like what Brighton are doing, that our young lads in Scotland are not going to get the chance now?
It really depends, because I think the biggest issue with Scottish football is not that continent. It's not the Kenneth Bargass that they're going to go sign that's holding out James Wilson. I think it's actually the English League Two jobbers that seem to come up and take a lot of the spots in these squads that are holding back the players. I think Kenneth Bargass is one that's really interesting if we look at it from a data standpoint. Kenneth Bargass in front of goal is so inconsistent and sometimes really poor, but Kenneth Bargass really positions himself really highly in players that get in positions to have high XG chances, which means that you can actually work with him and improve that composure. And realistically, over time, the more chances he gets, the more goals he will score as he progresses through his career. So that's one where you would look at Kenneth Vargas and go, you need to do more, his finishing's too poor. But then you look at it and go, how is he always getting these chances though? He's always in these areas, which is sometimes a harder thing to do.
Yeah.
Just on that, you're talking about jobber players who are coming into Scottish football. You look at Hibs with Hoylett and Dwight Gayle, that's a perfect example of where they're getting it wrong.
I would think so. On Dwight Gayle, 4 years ago would have been a remarkable signing for Hibs, but Dwight Gayle's career's nosedived. Junior Hoylett, I think, is a different one, because from what I've seen at the 6 months at Aberdeen at the back end of the season, he was actually really good, especially against Celtic in the semi-final. So his signing maybe made sense. But definitely not from a data standpoint. I wouldn't imagine if they were running a data model that anyone would have presented Dwight Gayle or Junior Hoylett to Hibs. They would have been way outside the profile. Because unless they're remarkable players, I don't know why you're going outside of the budget probably to sign those players and people the back end of their career.
So, John, I mean, you touched on it earlier on. I mean, you'll get people just saying, you know, you're talking absolute nonsense. Football's a really simple game. You're overanalyzing everything. I'm obviously guessing you'll completely disagree with that. But do you not think there's, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat? There's more than one way to win a football match. There's more than one way to be successful. So I know you said that, like, Celtic are sort of getting away with it, but surely they're like, well, the proof's in the pudding, you know? We're financially got 70-odd million in the bank. We're qualifying for the Champions League, doing pretty well in the Champions League as well. Or do you just think that, you know, like...
Eventually
that'll stop.
But what happens when Celtic don't have Brendan Rodgers and they appoint badly? What happens when they appoint the next Neil Lennon and they make an absolute pig's ear of it? Yeah. And the team looked like the team went from one of the best sides that ever played in Scottish football with almost the same players to Neil Lennon's side that looked like they'd never played football. So if you get your managerial appointment wrong and you don't have all that background set there, you're in trouble and you can make a massive mistake. I think that's what Rangers did after 2020, as they got to the title and then didn't have anything to back it up. Gerrard left and it all kind of went in a spiral, falling out of the place. But I do agree on the there's more than one way to skin a cat. This isn't somebody who's been like, I actually don't think the data complicates. I think data makes it easier. I think if I'm working with a striker and I can show the striker where the high probability of scoring chances are, I can then work with my wingers and fullbacks and go, this is where I want you to deliver the crosses when you're in these areas, mm-hmm. and this is where I want my midfield. It almost simplifies it for me when you can show people visuals and data and go, this is where you're going to score goals, this is where we're going to get the chances. And I think you're starting to see little bits on Monday Night Football. The bit on Brentford about shooting from range and not shooting from range was fascinating. If we talk about Pep Guardiola nonsense football and people not wanting to see it all played out for the back, everyone remembers like 5 weeks ago, Brentford scored with inside a minute and a half, 3 games in a row, for launching a long kickoff.
Right. Yeah.
And they surrounded the second ball and picked up the second ball. That was a data analyst that pulled that together and said, if we put a long ball in there and have 3 wide players sitting in that one area, we'll pick up the ball and get a chance at goal early. So it looks like it's long ball football and it's not pretty, but it was done because their data analysts are looking at how they do kickoffs.
It's brilliant and it's fascinating. I would like to get you back on the show at some point because that was fascinating to hear.
Finally, John, see, when you actually watch a football match, can you not enjoy it anymore?
Stephen, I'm a Rangers fan, so I've not been enjoying football for a while.
As a Dunfermline fan, I'm very much in the same boat, John.
And as a Hearts fan, I'm joining that boat as well.
Exactly. It's not enjoyable. Football's not enjoyable for anyone on this podcast anymore.
Apart
from producer John, but we'll not mention him. John, listen, I know you've got a busy day, and we'd love it if you came back on the podcast at some point as well when something comes up. So,
yeah.
Listen, that's been fascinating, and we'll get to let you get on with your day. Thanks very much, John Walker.
No worries, absolute pleasure.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers, thank you very much. And you can give him a wee follow on social media as well. Just search for his name.
He's brilliant.
I'm sure he'll come up, and he puts lots of stuff up on social media that is really, really interesting. So.
I mean, that had me... I had my ears pinned back there. That was amazing to listen to. And it's got me excited about what Hearts and Aberdeen are doing. And that's the way that, if that's the only way we can bridge the gap against Rangers and Celtic, then fantastic.
I think that's the thing, though. Like, obviously, Celtic and Rangers have such a massive financial advantage over everyone else. I did see Aberdeen release their accounts, I think yesterday or the last back end of last week or something. And they've got like record revenue. It's still 100 million less than what Celtic's revenue was last season. So, I mean, that's the gap that we're talking about. £100 million.
John Walker, go and follow him, as you just heard him there, UEFA A candidate, at @JohnWalker_1986 for all the data analysis in Scottish football. It's very, very, very good. And I'm just watching his analysis there of Bojan Miovski scoring his two goals in the Liga, former Aberdeen player. So, yeah, go and follow him. Fascinating guy, brilliant stuff, and definitely we'll get him back on the show at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Okie dokie. We have the quiz to round off the podcast. Shit. And I believe something different is happening this week. What have you done, producer John, or what have you and Ewan cooked up to try and make it that Ewan wins?
Can I just put my hand up here and I'll be honest with you? On the group chat, I asked producer John for his email. Did you see me ask that question?
I don't remember, but
I asked for his email. He sent me his email because there's been quite a few people who've contacted me to say, I would love to put some questions together for the quiz. Can you give me producer John's email? So John gave me his email, and John, you have received an email from somebody who has put together today's quiz.
Yes, thank you very much to Graham Prentice, who emailed me over, and the quiz is slightly different the way Graham is. We're going to play a game of... So it's who are you, right?
Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah, see what we've done there. Right, so...
Are we going to encourage this for punters to put together quiz questions for us? That's
a
good idea.
It saves me a job, so yes, it's absolutely.
Good idea. Fantastic.
I mean, just if you're listening to Clyde on Super Scoreboard this week, fully expect a who are you round.
Right, so here are the rules this week, right? It's slightly different. I am going to read out a description of the player. If you think you know who that player is, get buzzing. Give me your buzzer, Ewan.
H-E-A-R-T-S.
Okay, that's good. Stephen?
Buzz.
Brilliant. Right, so then you can guess the player. However, if you get it wrong, you're out the game, and I will continue reading the description.
So first person in gets the point if they get it right.
But they can't jump in. If they get it wrong, they can't come back in. I'll continue with the description.
Until the end and then got it, love
so,
it!
Best of five,
go
all
on,
right.
Then. Here we go, let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, so are we ready to play?
And who put these questions together again?
Graham Prentice.
Good. Okay. Good. Hello, Graham, thanks
so
for this, mate.
So if any of the wrong... all the blame's going on Graham this week. Okay.
Go on, I'm ready. I like that.
Right, okay. First one up on Who Are You? Remember, buzz in if you know the answer. Here we go. I played for 10 clubs, one in Scotland. I made 449 appearances, scoring 157 goals. I have 76 caps, scoring 23 goals.
76 caps.
I have zero league wins, seven cups, including one Cup Winners' Cup and one Super Cup. My total transfer fees over my career was £30 million. Who am I?
I don't have a fucking clue.
Go through that again.
I played for 10 clubs.
Put some music on in the background. I hate silence.
All right, okay. I'll get some sort of tension.
10 clubs. Go on. I like this game. Go on. 10 clubs.
I played for 10 clubs, one in Scotland. I made 449 appearances, scoring 157 goals. I have 76 caps, scoring 23 goals. I have no league wins, but seven cups, including one Cup Winners' Cup and one Super Cup. My total transfer fees over my career was £30 million. If you aren't getting it, I'll give you one more clue.
I've genuinely not got a clue. This could be anyone.
Well, it can't be because...
I was the record signing for a club in Scotland.
H-E-A-R-T-S.
You in.
Todd Andrew Flo. Get in.
This is shite.
No, it's not.
This is utter shite.
Do you know why? Because you lost the first question. Move on to question
two.
No,
this is utter shite because you've just changed the quiz. Because
I didn't change anything. Graham asked for an email. Boom.
Bullshit.
Right, okay.
Todd Andrew Flo.
1-0 you in on...
How many of these have we got?
Best of five.
Go, best of five, even better. Go on.
Right, okay. Next one. Yeah. Next player. Remember, jump in if you know the answer.
Yeah.
I have played with seven clubs, one in Scotland. I have 501 appearances, scoring 239 goals. I have 33 caps, scoring 9 goals. I have won one league and six club cups, including one European Cup Winners' Cup in 93-94 and one Intertoto Cup in 1999. I have won three Player of the Season awards. I have won three PFA Team of the Year awards. I have two Ballon d'Or nominations in 95 and 97. And I am in my nation's Hall of Fame from 2005.
Wow, those are really good clues. We should be able to work this one out. Right. So while the background music thing is going on and I'm thinking about this, can you just go through them slowly again, please?
I have played with seven clubs, one in Scotland. I have 501 appearances, scoring 239 goals. I have 33 caps, scoring 9 goals. I have one league winner's medal and six cups, including one European Cup Winners' Cup in 93-94. And
buzz.
One in... Oh, Stephen, what are you going for?
Ian Wright.
Oh. Ian Wright is your answer. Is well correct.
Do you know what? How did you get that? That's brilliant.
Cup Winners' Cup, I'm guessing.
No, because...
Where did you get that from?
I was reading about him earlier on this week, actually. the thing that stuck out is that I knew they only had 33 caps because I heard them speaking about it just a couple of weeks ago and I was like...
Nah, well done.
And then I knew that Arsenal... The only thing that was... I thought he'd maybe won more than one league title because I thought he might have held on for one of the later ones.
He was in Arsene Wenger's first season, wasn't he?
Aye.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, fair play, Stephen. That's a cracker. Well done.
Right.
It's the final one.
No,
best of five.
Best of five.
Right. Oh, best of five, yeah. Go on. So,
this is
one
number three.
A piece. Here we go.
Go on.
Who are you? I have played for seven clubs, one in Scotland. I have made 502 appearances, scoring 102 goals. I have 39 caps for my country, scoring 9 goals. I have won five leagues and five cups, which included under-21's European Championship in 1988. I have won Champions League in 92-93 and won Intertoto Cup in 1995. I was shortlisted for the SPFA Player of the Season in 2001. Who am I?
H-E-A-R-T-S.
Ewan.
Paul Lambert.
You are saying Paul Lambert.
And Marshall has saved!
I will go through the clues again for Stephen. Well, that's
seven clubs and one in Scotland. Paul Lambert plays for Motherwell and Celtic. Right. And he played for Livingston.
It's a one Champions League thing. I was thinking Champions
League.
Seven
clubs in Scotland, one in Scotland, Stephen. 500 appearances, 102 goals, 39 caps for his country, scoring 9
goals. 102 goals, of course it was the Paul Lambert.
I have won five.
Buzz.
No!
Right, who are you going for?
Frank Sauzé.
Oh!
Now, you're not going to believe this.
Did you read that?
I was reading about Frank Sauzé the other day. I genuinely was. We were talking about him.
We were talking about
Frank Sauzé, so I was on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And again, I remember, I was like, I wonder how many caps he got for France. I was like, I got 39 caps and he scored 9 goals.
Because we were talking about the big Saturday football show and you Googled it because we're trying to figure out how long he'd been as the Hibs manager, being a legend.
Do you know it's his little face has changed, a little smile now, and it's went from, oh, this quiz is rubbish to...
It doesn't matter what quiz you throw at me, I'm going to win it anyway. So if I get this, I've won.
Yeah, you do.
If you get this, you won. Remember, you can buzz in quick here and have a stab.
Yeah, go on, honey.
Here we go, right. I have played for 6 clubs, 5 in Scotland. I have made
5 in Scotland.
Yep, I have made 468 appearances, scoring 28 goals. I have 32 caps, scoring 0 goals. I have won 3 leagues and 3 cups, all of them Scottish cups.
3 leagues they've won.
Yep, and 3 cups, all of them Scottish cups. The league wins I have are in 92-93, 93-94, and 06-07. Who am I?
Won 3 leagues and one of them was in 06-07?
Yep.
32 caps and no goals.
32 caps,
Buzz.
No goals.
Oh, no. No, I haven't even had time to think.
I think it's Stephen Presley.
You think it's Stephen Presley?
Oh, no, please don't be Stephen Presley.
If you've got this right, you win, Stephen. If not, Ewan gets to have a guess at it.
Please don't be right.
Stephen.
Yep.
Your namesake, Stephen Presley.
Mm-hmm. Fellow Fifer.
Man, fucking, does it matter what kind of fucking quiz it is? Jesus, fuck. Graham, your questions were shite. Fucking hell. Where did you get Stephen Presley from? Where?
You're not going to believe this, right? I wasn't reading about Stephen Presley, but I just knew it. Because I was like, well, he played with Rangers.
Yeah, he did.
And then obviously Celtic. He played with Celtic.
Celtic League 2005-06.
Played with Dundee United as well. And obviously someone else that I can't think of.
Presley won the...
Oh, did he play with Falkirk? Oh, so he did, yeah. Aye, I forgot he tarnished his career by doing that. Anyway, Ewan, you get your pouch and yourself away up the road. And,
that's just shite, by the way. If anyone else wants to put forward some questions in... Yeah.
Yeah, and I can beat you at that as well. So, I'm not really fussed. But listen, thank you very much. I've not gloated at all. I'm not gloating.
Shit, though. It doesn't matter what quiz... What type of quiz?
I don't
know. It's just shite.
I just knew the answer.
It's just shite.
No,
it's just shite.
You're shite.
I didn't even get time to think.
You're shite.
Look, I'd only written down like 3 fucking clues.
I know, but I knew who it was, you, and that's how it worked. Clues. That's
how it worked. I can't listen and write at the same time.
Well, that's a very much a you problem, Ewan. You are shite. Bye, Ewan. Nice doing a podcast with you. Right, that is it for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. We'll catch you next time for some more chat. Get in touch at Big Football Scott. Clydemore Super Scoreboard's on. Big Saturday Football Show. All that stuff as well. Mark Wilson's in for me next week as well. So catch you later. Bye-bye.